and of corporate matters of Propagos. Mauricio Osa, President of Odinsa. Maria Clara Aristizabal, Manager of the Urban Development Business. Paula Rojave, Vice President of Corporate Finances for Odinsa. Andres Bejarano, New President of Pactia. Welcome, Andres, to the organization. We're glad to have with you in Pactia's direction. This conference is being translated simultaneously into English. You'll find all the information in the quarter with the presentation that we'll be following during the teleconference. You can access menu, financial information, and afterwards the report section. Now I'll invite you to move on to slide number 3 of this presentation so we can start our meeting. I'll grant the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos. Well, thank you, Juan Esteban. Thank you all for being with us. And I want to reiterate the welcoming to Andres Bejarano. He is a great professional, great person that's part of Pactia's team in order to lead the organization. For me, it's very grateful being able to share with you all the results that we have accumulated to the first quarter this year, our second quarter this year, sorry, it's a result, an extraordinary result for our business. And it keeps showing the capacity of our group to grow and generate value despite the fact that the price of the stock and the fundamental value of the organization are still uncoupled and are still inconsistent. Because of this, I'd like to begin this conversation by sharing with you all how have we advanced in the different strategic initiatives that we've announced in the market in the month of January this year, even from December last year, so we could show value generation, a bit more clear for value generation to our shareholders that can be summarized in the listing of strategic assets in other stock exchanges and simultaneously the simplification of the society structure of the company in order for there to be a value transfer as similar as possible to the fundamental value and in a direct manner to our shareholders. The first of these initiatives, as we've mentioned, is the listing and the emission of our shares in the New York Stock Exchange for the assets that Argos has in that country under Argos USA Society. It's a company that not just brings together the cement and concrete assets, but also logistics for Cementos Argos in that country. Through a public emission of shares in the capital market of the United States. Over this project, I'd like to say that the team has had significant advancements. And despite the fact that, as you might know, the condition of the international markets have been affected negatively due to different economic and geopolitical circumstances, Cementos Argos anticipates to complete the project once conditions of the market allow to do so in a short by future. According to the market, to the public market rules of the United States, we cannot share any additional information of this process during this moment. So this operation is still a strategic priority for Cementos Argos, and it's fundamental in order to materialize the future growth of our business in that country. I can say that we have not stayed behind in terms of resources, technical resources, financial or technical or the support resources in order to drive this process forward. Another of the strategic initiatives where we've been advancing is around consolidating all the infrastructure assets of Grupo Argos, meaning by this, those assets that are under Celsia in terms of the generation distribution of energy. We have Odinsa also in terms of our roads and airports or the real estate businesses. So after we find that mechanism of replacing them in just one vehicle, we can bring them to market. We also want to highlight that the listing of this vehicle would be in the midterm after We've already structured with a process that has been studied rigorously, and once the market conditions are right, in order for us to have the right price, in order to transfer the value to our shareholders. This segment has been axis of Grupo Argo strategy for the last 10 years, and the materialization of this operation will allow us to consolidate a regional platform of the same class assets where Grupo Argos can manage them through the different countries where we operate. Today, we are evaluating carefully the different mechanisms of different alternatives, business alternatives, and the different implications, taxation implications, and financial implications that will be more efficient to consolidate this vehicle that remunerates assets with similar characteristics, where we have the different stable cash flows, predictable stable cash flows, and with long-term investment horizon. Besides, this consolidation will allow to optimize in order to an optimization in order to maximize operational, taxation, structural, and capital structure efficiencies. It's worth to mention that this business model is essentially the same that other asset infrastructure asset managers such as Brookfields or Blackstone have carried out successfully, where the company acts as a professional manager of private capital funds, and due to that, management has remuneration in terms of commissions and success commissions for the investors in these funds. During the last years, Grupo Argos and its companies have advanced towards this direction and have created private capital funds where we've had institutional investors such as Macquarie and Cubico Sustainable Investments, over which I'll be mentioning further on in this conversation. This process will enable a larger growth and expansion capacity, but will allow to maximize the profitability, given that the company will not just have returns due to the dividends of its investments, but will also be remunerated because of its intellectual capital and due to its management capacity in terms of assets. The following operation consists in searching and bringing in new and different strategic allies for the corporate structure in Grupo Argos. At this point, we want to highlight that during June, we had the close of Vertical de Vías, where we created a private capital fund with Macquarie, the infrastructure investor, the most important infrastructure investor in the world, in order to contribute with four road assets of Odinsa and Colombia, as well as the rights of origination of two private initiatives, and keep investing in this business, not just in Colombia, but in the region. Besides, we're also working the consolidation of an airport vertical with a business model similar to the one that has been implemented in the road concession business. These verticals are key for the infrastructure business advancements that we are carrying out, and that will allow us to strengthen the economic value generation capacity for the company. And that promising future surges from a present where Grupo Argos keeps confirming solid fundamentals with outstanding results in the second quarter of 2022. The consolidated results show operations that allowed us to close the quarter with revenues close to 10.5 trillion Colombian pesos, growing at 35% compared with the same period last year, and with an EBITDA of 2.6 trillion Colombian pesos, so with a 16% growth. From its side, the net profit closed in 726 billion Colombian pesos, with a 25% increase, and the net controlling profit closed in 391 billion Colombian pesos with a 37% growth. In a 10-year period, the consolidated revenues of the company went from 6.7 trillion Colombian pesos from 2012 to 16.3 billion Colombian pesos 2021, with an annual growth of 9.3%. In that same period, The EBITDA went from 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos to 4.3 trillion Colombian pesos with a compound annual growth of 10.4%. And finally, net profit went from 344 billion Colombian pesos to 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos with a compound annual growth of 13.3%. Before moving on to the business results, I wanted to mention about the OPAs and reassure that all the decisions and each one of the procedures that Grupo Argus has led in its six offers for its portfolio investments have been bear in mind economic, legal, strategic alignment aspects, and we've countered with the support of well-known global advisors. It's also worth to mention that Grupo Argos Investments, Grupo Sudas, and Grupo Nutres Investments have represented great benefits for the shareholders of this organization, with internal return rates that are between 18% and 20% in the last 20 years. Besides representing a portfolio diversification and the risk distribution that mitigates the effects of the negative cycles within the businesses that the company participates. Besides six OPAs that have been presented during the second quarter of this year, we closed and declared as the offer for Grupo Argos shares. This led to a larger volatility of the share, given that during the acceptance process, the price was increased, and after it was not accepted, the price decreased once again, aligned with the market that has been presented by the market in the last months. If the drop in the share was accelerated during the period, ordinary Argos shares still presents a growth of 16.6% in the last 12 months, while the Colcap index that's referenced for the market has increased in 5%. Now, I want to invite you to move on and check the results of the construction material business that you might find on slide number 8. Till June this year, we presented the highest revenues of our history, thanks to good dynamics of volumes and prices that have powered the prices in Colombia and the United States. Added to the efforts to mitigate the inflation pressure, the cost of energy products has allowed the company to keep its EBITDA goals in more than 2 trillion Colombian pesos for the close of this year. The mid and short-term perspective for this business is very positive, given the construction growth in the different regions where we participate. We project that in the next years, there will be more than 1 trillion execution, $1 trillion of execution in order to construct and renew the United States infrastructure, and that will allow to support the growth that has been growing at 4%. From its side, Colombia, in the market, we trust that the market will keep showing a positive dynamic in the execution of a fifth generation infrastructure process that might represent more than 50 trillion Colombian pesos, and with the dynamic of construction during housing that during this year has grown 7% in social interest housing and for in 1% for those non-interest social interest housing. In operational terms, the cement volumes reached 4.2 million tons, a bit lower than previous year. In Colombia, dispatches grew at 13%, while in Central America and the Caribbean, we had drops given to the market behavior, such as Haiti and Honduras, affected by external social situations that we expect that will stabilize in the upcoming months. In the concrete business, when we exclude the contribution of the disinvestment in disinvested plants, there was an increase of 13% in terms of dispatches, reaching almost 2 million cubic meters. Cementos Argos revenues in second quarter 2022 are historically high, and reached 2.9 trillion Colombian pesos, with an annual growth of 15% and 34% higher than what we had in second quarter 2020. EBITDA, by its side, reached 409 billion Colombian pesos, aligned with what has been registered by the company in the same period 2021, when we exclude from both sides the impact that Dallas disinvestment had. In order to analyze the results of Cementos Argos, it's also important to drill down in the monthly growing trend, given to the favorable behavior in terms of prices, and thanks to the operational efficiencies that have been reached, the company achieved a very important growth month after month that up till June significantly compensated the increase of fuel costs and distribution costs that were globally registered. If we analyze the results for June compared with April periods where prices recovered, we could see a 50% income in terms of revenue, 33% increase in EBITDA, and 165% in terms of the net profit of the controller, to close with a monthly contribution of 47 billion Colombian pesos. This progression, these figures, give us ease about the results that we'll have for the rest of this year. In the United States operation, where we're driving the listing process that I have previously mentioned, the results were especially good for the month of June, given that this showed a growth of 21% in terms of revenues, 41% in terms of EBITDA during the same period. This positive trend seen during the quarter fills us with optimism in order to achieve good results at the end of the year, considering the price increase and a stabilization in terms of costs, thanks between others to the fuel supply contracts that for this year will grant a hedge of 60% of the energy needs that the business has and that will be kept during the second semester this year. Now I want to invite you to check on the results of the energy business. For Celsia, the first semester, 2022 was once again the best semester of its history. Operational excellency, the strategy that the company has driven during last years, focused in strengthening its renewable generation portfolio while ensuring stable flows with the consolidation of the distribution center focused on the customer and the favorable conditions in terms of energy demand drove a period that we have not yet seen before. During this period, Celsa kept implementing a powerful investment plan that up to this moment of the year adds more than 827 billion Colombian pesos that have been executed. The materialization of this plan ratifies the commitment that the organization has around the transition that Colombia has around non-renewable energies and conventional energies. The solar platform, we just got started the operation of Sinse Farm, which has a capacity of 19.9 megawatts that required an investment over $20 million. Disney Central counts with 38,000 solar panels that will avoid the emission of more than 29,000 tons of CO2 per year. Besides this, for this year, we expect the start of operations of the thermoelectric central in Tesorito, in Sagún, Córdoba. This project that we have previously mentioned will supply 200 megawatts of reliable energy to the generation matrix of the country. With technological novelties that just not makes them efficient and fast, but also agile in order, when it comes to cover the needs of the country. This project, in its peak of its construction, generated more than 1,000 employments. And it was close to, the investment was close to $200 million. Moving on to the results, the energy generated for the period closed in 1,549 megawatts hour, and the commercialized closed in 923,000 megawatts hour. With growths compared with the same period last year of 14 and 8% respectively. This growth in terms of generation and commercialization added to the better energy prices and the use rates and connection rates for those that are indexed with the consumer price index were reflected in the financial results that were historically high for this organization. The revenues for the quarter closed in 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos with a 29% increase year after year, leveraged in a larger generation, in a better energy price, and better rates. The consolidated EBITDA reached 449 billion Colombian pesos when we exclude not requiring operations, which is equal to an annual growth of 43%, led mainly by the positive contribution of all the Colombian businesses. The EBITDA in the country was 395 billion Colombian pesos, so with a 51% growth. While in Central America, we reached 61 billion Colombian pesos, growing at a 17% rate. The EBITDA margin for the quarter was 38%, with an improvement of almost 390 basic points compared with the same period last year. Now I want to invite you to visit the results of the concession business, mainly Odinsa, on slide number 12. Now, this business also presented very positive results with not just increases in traffic, but also in financial results. I want to start by highlighting the recognition that our airports in Bogota and Quito received as the best ones in South America. This recognition was granted by Skytrax. It's a British organization in charge of evaluating the service offered by airports all around the world. And for this occasion, they bear in mind a customer service, a facilities, customer service and facilities of more than 500 global airports. In terms of the road concession business, after complying with the resident conditions of Odinsa and Macquarie, the infrastructure asset manager, biggest infrastructure asset manager in the world, announced the consolidation of a strategic alliance through private capital fund Odinsa Vias, each one with a participation of 50%. Odinsa acts as a manager of the constituted fund and receives a remuneration due to the intellectual capital contributed in order to comply with this role. Odinsa Vias, or Odinsa Roads, manages Odinsa's and Macquarie Asset Management participation in the existing concessions. This means Autopista de Café, Maya Vía del Meta, Pacifico 2, and Aburrá Oriente Tunnel. Besides, will keep with the development of projects and structuring initiatives such as the broadening of Tunnel de Orientia, for example, in Sabana Perimetral, in Cundinamarca, and the Central Connection Project in the Cafe region. And besides, we'll have a broad capacity to develop and structure new road infrastructure projects, not just in Colombia, but in the region. The 50% disinvestment of the road concession participation that we have previously mentioned, and the posterior constitution of the private capital fund Odinsa Vias, generates for the company important and relevant changes in accounting terms that can be appreciated starting from June this year. These changes imply, between others, the deconsolidation of those concessions And the consortiums for Autopista del Café, Maya del Meta, Aburrá Oriente Tunnel, which start being recorded in one line that will enter into the audience's financial results as a revenue. This will be calculated as the variation of value of the audience's participation units in the private capital fund that has been managed by the same. I also want to highlight, besides, that during June, Fitch confirmed an increase in the credit rating for Odinsa that is a double A right now with a stable perspective. This is a milestone that recognizes the soundness of the company's capital structure and the deleveraging work that has been led within the organization. Now, I want to invite you to check the results. Total traffic of Odinsa's road concessions plus supporter in an average of 104,000 vehicles daily, which represents an increase of 41%. When we exclude the contribution of ADN and BTA, the roads that were disinvested in the Dominican Republic. The road concession segment had a lower contribution, explained mainly by the anticipated end of ADN and BTA and the deconsolidation of the Colombian roads starting from June. From its side, airport traffic closed in 10.1 million passengers mobilized, a figure that almost doubles the figure that we had in the second quarter previous year. In terms of revenues, at a consolidated level, Odinsa recorded 135 billion Colombian pesos in the second quarter 2022. This means 2% less than what has been recorded in the same period last year. When we exclude the concessions of the Dominican Republic and the concessions contributed to the private capital fund, Odinsa Vías, that I previously mentioned. In the airport segment, we had revenues, EBITDA, and net profit, which were positive for Odinsa through equity participation method, product of a recovery of the passenger traffic. This segment recorded 30 billion Colombian pesos in the accumulated results for June this year, approximately 36 billion Colombian pesos more than what had been recorded in the same period last year. It's also important to mention here that operating results, despite being positive, are not contributing to the consolidated results of Odinsa, given two accounting policy determination that was taken in 2021, where the results of this asset will only start being recorded within Odinsa results, apart from the moment where its equity is found in positive terrain. The EBITDA for the second quarter presents a positive variation of 121% year after year, reaching 304 billion Colombian pesos. This increase corresponds to the recorded profit that had been recorded in June due to the sale of 50% of the Colombia Macquarie asset, road assets, for the construction fund that had been previously mentioned. In terms of the construction segment, the EBITDA contribution was minus 12 billion Colombian pesos, mainly explained by the end of the construction of Pacifico 2 and the associated expenses to the contract liquidation. Now I want to invite you to check the results of the real estate business. The revenue was 85 billion Colombian pesos, growing at 4% year after year. And the EBITDA for this quarter was 30 billion Colombian pesos with a reduction of 15% year after year. Nevertheless, after adjusting this results under the disinvestments that were made during the period, the effective gross revenue and EBITDA would be 24 and 29% respectively. In terms of the same assets for the same quarter, the operational net revenue and EBITDA grew a 23 and a 33% versus the same period 2021. The business generation dynamic keeps being highly positive. During the first 6 months of the year, we renewed contracts for 90,000 square meters. For the end of this period, the fund reached a record occupation of the non-hotel portfolio of 96.7%. The sectors with largest recovery were trade and hotels, with an increase of 926 and 193% in terms of revenues compared to the same period last year. In shopping malls, Gran Plaza, the average sales per square meter grew 17% compared to the same quarter last year. Besides in hotels, the occupation closed in 57.5%, almost 26 percentage points higher than what had been reported in the same quarter last year. Finally, in terms of logistics and storage, we want to highlight that from the 426,000 square meters of industrial assets and the 8 U.S. storage buildings closed the quarter with occupations over 99 and 88% respectively, thanks to the drive of the last mile distribution of electronic trade. All these things contribute to a larger cash generation, operational cash generation. This business, this semester, I must say that the urban development business presents very promising results. Net cash flow after paying expenses, investment plans, increased more than 600%. The revenues grew 80% thanks to the signature of two promises of purchase sale in Barranquilla. And the sale of two land lots in Puerto Colombia and the payment of other businesses that had been impacted in previous years with readjustment clauses. In the P&L, we reflect the sale of three lots of the second stage of Ciudad de Mallorquín, a beautiful project where we're constructing social interest housing with urbanism development and design of very high level. And those two lots added to the additional square meters that were sold in Baru Island previous quarter, give an increase of 85% in the disinvested area and an increase of 230% in EBITDA. We also want to highlight the positive advancement of constructors with a 98% of the units at the first phase of Ciudad Mallorquín commercialized in just 16 months and the launching of two additional projects. This market dynamic gives us positive perspectives in order to keep on feeding our pipeline with new businesses in this project in the zone. Up to date, we have 30 current transactions for a total of 624 billion Colombian pesos, from which we're still missing to enter in cash 300 billion Colombian pesos during the next 5 years. Now I'm going to invite you to go over the consolidated results of Grupo Argos on slide number 18, where we can see the added effect of the positive performance of our businesses during this quarter. Revenues reached 5.9 billion during the period, which represents an increase of 46% compared to the same period last year. The largest sale volume was translated into EBITDA increase, which closed to 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos with a 1% increase year after year, after we eliminate the effect of the DAS disinvestment that was carried out in the second quarter 2021 and that impacted the EBITDA in something close to 180 billion Colombian pesos for that quarter 2021. The net profit increased to a larger proportion, registering a pro forma figure of 368 billion Colombian pesos with an 18% growth and a net profit of the pro forma controller of 227 billion Colombian pesos, growing a 32% compared with the same period last year. On slide 18, we can see the variation in the contribution of each one of our businesses in terms of revenues and in terms of consolidated EBITDA. In this graph, we can clearly see the good performance of all the company's businesses that during this quarter kept presenting operation and financial growth, leveraged by a clear strategy, long-term strategy, operational improvements, and the improvements in terms of costs and expenses. If the cement business presented a reduction in the EBITDA contribution due to the increases of cost, fuel and energy that we previously mentioned, the perspective of this business are still favorable, and we forecast a positive change in terms of this contribution, supported in the good commercial and price dynamics that we have been seeing and that we mentioned previously. Now let's move on to slide number 20 in order to analyze the evolution of the consolidated indebtedness. In that front, we want to highlight the amortizations that have been made by the organization those last 12 months, which reach in total 2.2 trillion Colombian pesos, achieving a reduction of 13% in the consolidated gross debt and of a 17% in the consolidated net debt, going from 17 to 14.8 billion Colombian pesos. The largest part of the indebtedness reduction is being led by Odinsa, Cementos Argos, and Grupo Argos. From another side, Celsia improved its leveraging indicators, moving from a net debt EBITDA ratio of 3.3 times in June last year to 3 times June this year, thanks to the EBITDA growth. The additional debt is being used to keep on funding the project investments that are highly profitable and will generate positive results in all the lines of this organization. And the separate financial results, as well as consolidated financial results, we found positive results. Pro forma revenues closed in 172 billion Colombian pesos, EBITDA in 124 billion Colombian pesos, net profit in 82 billion Colombian pesos, with a 9% increase year after year. Separate debt for Grupo Argos, that has been detailed on slide 24, closed second quarter in 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos with due dates of 97% of the credits after 2023 second semester, which grants a complete flexibility, a complete financial flexibility to the company and allows the company close to the period with healthy indebtedness indicators and aligned with the current credit rating that the company has. The financing rates have increased around the world, and this has led that the debt cost has closed in 9.9%, which represents an increase compared with June's 2021 rate. Nevertheless, the company has implemented a series of hedging mechanisms, which have allowed the company to mitigate partially this rate increase. If the company had not implemented these types of tools, the financing tool today would be 11.4, meaning by this 150 basic points, which is higher than the one that we've been experimenting. In between the treasury strategies, we want to highlight that the company counts with paper investments of fixed revenues for 302 billion Colombian pesos, which generated a positive carry for the company, given the yields that are over the cost of the debt. To close this slide, I wanted to mention that we reached our best ratings, AAA, both from Fitch and Standard & Poor's. In terms of sustainability, during the quarter, the organization reached great milestones in its climate change strategy. I want to especially highlight that recently, Sensia, our energy business, informed to the market that had been granted by Econtech the neutral carbon certification. Within the achieved investments in order to reach this milestone, we want to highlight that in the last 4 years, Sensia reduced in 76% its greenhouse gas emissions and becomes an undoubted leader in the generation of a cleaner and more sustainable matrix. This achievement is part of a cross-cutting strategy in terms of climate change, led by all the group in order to mitigate and compensate the consolidated carbon footprint and adapt the businesses to the effects of climate change. The goal is a driving transition towards neutral carbon of our businesses up to for 2015, as we have previously mentioned in other occasions. And finally, I just wanted to close by reaffirming the trust that the organization has in the country and the view of optimism, leadership led by the opportunities that we're identifying in the infrastructure sector, more specifically for the productivity and the development of our country. With this trust and under this key premise of value generation for our shareholders and the strategy that we are carefully executing in order for us to consolidate ourselves as an asset infrastructure company, will drive profitability and at the same time, the transmission revelation of fundamental value for our shareholders. Now, let me give back the word to Juan Esteban so we can coordinate the Q&A session. Thank you all for your attention, and we'll be open for any doubts, questions, or queries that you might have. Well, thank you, Jorge. You can ask your questions in the Q&A session. That's open in the Zoom platform. Let me see what questions we have. We can start asking questions that we have while we get more. First, a question from Laura Lopez, and I'm going to divide this question into segments. Good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation and for receiving my question. So I'd like to know, from the perspective of different businesses, how are you seeing the taxation reform proposed by the new business, more specifically in the cement business, with the reduction of incentives for the construction of social interest housing, VIP and VIS types of housings? Well, thank you, Laura, for your question. Thank you for your comment. I'll try to approach the question in a broader sense, and then I'll end by speaking about the incentives to the social interest housings, VIP and VIS types of housings. I have the following comments. A project that was presented, the taxation project that was presented the 8th of August, it's a project over which there's a discussion that's starting, not just within the private and public shareholders, between the different think tanks and government, but there must be a discussion within the Congress of the Republic. Now, this is a project over which I'd like to express a certain general considerations. First, I do celebrate the conversation space that Minister Ocampo has been having with different private and private actors, and more specifically with the conversation that we had in Andy, that conference ended this Friday in Cartagena. We had the chance to express the concerns that we have as private sector, more specifically those related to look with a broader sense, the contributors to this reform. It would be not right if we focus the reform over natural people and natural individuals and companies that have a certain capacity of supporting the additional marginal values that are pretend to be collected. Meaning by this, emphasizing those actions that has to do with illusion and looking for those steps that can contribute to sustaining the state. Obviously, there's going to be a discussion around the size of the reform, if it's going to be 25 trillion or if figures are going to be different. But besides this process, because I do agree that there should be alternatives in looking for additional contributors, we've also expressed the concern in certain specific cases. For example, the high combined rate between societies and individuals that could reach 67.5%, higher than 41.5% that exists in Colombia. And which places that in, for that 41% on the average of Latin American country, 67% would be very high, higher than average. And if we add effects with which we could generate to equity tax over the investments that people might have in certain societies, we're concerned for there being a signal of disinvestment of the formalization of the of businesses and disinvestment. The minister has mentioned his interest on going over specific aspects, not just to dividend tax, but in terms of other matters. I believe it's a process where we're beginning a conversation that we need to support initiatives that are feasible, that will support the investments that the government of the country requires to do around the social matters, but with the right balance and with the care for us to maintain the signals for more investment and for the creation of more businesses. I think this is a very important message to reiterate. That's a big concern that we did mention this to the minister. There's other specific ones, such as Laura's mentioning, in terms of the incentives for the AFC accounts or for those that are going towards projects such as the ones that have been developed around housing. That we will have to go over, I would say that part of the success of being able to construct 130,000 houses in Colombia, housing units in Colombia, a large number of those being social interest housing. And with the projects that have been implemented in the country, this shows that they're not just economically beneficial, but socially beneficial, giving the opportunity to so many people that require housing. I would also believe that we need to go over the reduction of benefits through limits of deductions that are being thought of in certain ranges of wages that could imply high levels of collection, but can also have a collateral effect into disincentives in terms of savings and housing acquisition. So in summary, I think there's a process that's just beginning. It's a process that will have to be debated, both on the as well as other guilds and other businessmen. We've raised our hand respectfully, but clear to show the government, more specifically Minister Ocampo, for the collateral effects that there could be. And I do celebrate that there's an attitude of analysis discussion over them. So in general terms, I would answer your question with these comments. There's a couple of additional questions around the taxation reform. Laura and Rodrigo Santos, I'm going to connect one question. First is about PACA's exposition in terms of free trade zones. I'd like to know at what percentage of PACA's revenues are coming from free trade zones. And from the other side, Rodrigo Sanchez asks about the impact of the reform in the urban development business, mainly focused towards the impact that hotel demands might have if we eliminate the benefits for the hotel business. And the impact in occasional gains in disinvestments of land and Pactia assets that might happen in the future. Okay, it's a very broad question. Let me give Maria Clara, maybe I could start, and then Maria Clara could take over, speak about the implications of the urban development business and on the benefits it brings for hotels and occasional gains in terms of disinvestments. Because there's a technical thing here that we should discuss, and how our inventory is doing and all. But let me speak about the first thing, to say the following. Ferdinand Bhatia in free trade zones, we see for the group, the cement business has a very important free trade zone in Cartagena. It's a free trade zone. We have the plant that was built in 2013. We export, if not the majority, the total of the volume cement that this company is exporting. That free trade zone is mainly focused on exports, and the minister has said publicly that he will review the eventual standardization of the rules there are for multi-purpose free trade zones with the UNI business free trade zones, such as Cartagena's cases. So if we have an export commitment of 60 or 70%, this could operate for the multi-purpose, but also for the UNI business free trade zones, and that's fair. That both free trade zones could be follow the same rules, and this gives us hope. And just for you know, we have a legal stability contract till 2028, 2029. So from that side, we don't have a large concern. Let me give the word to Maria Clara so she could speak about hotels, highlighting that there's a large part of the terrains that we have that are not necessarily focused on hotels, but are focused more on housing construction. A great part of the projects we develop are basically social interest housing projects, which has a very large impact and a potential of growth thanks to the social policies of the government. But let me give the word to Maria Clara so she can complement us with this idea. Sorry, I'm sorry, having some feedback here. Just let me fix this. About the 9% equation, none of the master plan review calculations was contemplated this benefit that started operating in 2021. Actually, the sale that we had for the first hotel, for Sofitel Casa Blanca, where we had the put option, we could sell the business partner in year five as a formula that's linked to the behavior of the hotel over the EBITDA line. It's something like 10 times the EBITDA of year five. So this has nothing to do what happens under that line in terms of taxes. For the rest of the hotels, I'd say that the situation is the same. Without no doubt, this made this sector much more attractive for potential buyers of our land. But let me repeat it. Every time we made a transaction, we made it without bearing this in mind, and this was an additional upside. So I would maybe say that if there's a sector that's going to be benefited, it's probably going to be tourism. In the 7 years that we've had with the hotel, we've had a performance close to a 30% higher than what we were planning when we had the transactions underwriting. So I do feel with ease and with optimism in terms of the hotel sector. Now, speaking about subsidies for social interest housing, without no doubt, there'll be an important effect, more particularly if we would eliminate the subsidy to the offer through the elimination of 4% return of the VAT. If we bear in mind that the value of the land is a residual, that for this case will be around a 10-15%, less than a 20% of the land, a 4% that's eliminated or that's added as a construction cost for this means that land will have a price increase between 20 and 40%, which will make unfeasible these types of sales. In this extreme case, though, that I'm not really seeing right now, if this case happens, we will have to refocus into the non-social interest housings and to the hotel sector. I feel optimistic too, because this is a sector that generates lots of employment and that the sector, and that the country needs this sector. And only in our region, in the Caribbean region, in Barranquilla and in Atlántico, we have 160,000 units of, in terms of deficit, housing deficit. We can contribute up to 60,000 housing units in a project. And if that happens, we would have to reorientate towards the other sectors. But once again, I do see this as something complicated. Well, thank you, Mati. We have a couple of questions from Argos USA, Nubia Rivera and Daniel Guardiola. Let me connect this into just one. First is, what is the probable date for stock market listing, and if it's going to be an ordinary or preferential stock for Grupo Argos? And then Guardiola is also asking about the timing of the transaction and a general update of the process. Well, I'm going to retake what I said during the call. I need to be very careful here and very limited by saying the truth in the comments that I might make, because this is a listing under the Securities Exchange Commission regulations that are very clear and they're very preventive. So unfortunately, then I cannot give a specific date or estimate in terms of a time horizon. But I want to reiterate what I said. This is not just a priority, but it has also brought teams and economic resources and completely focused on the construction and enablement as finding the right moment to make this listing. In terms of the question, if it's ordinary shares or preferential shares, let's remember that what will be listed is the cement assets of Argos USA. It's not Cementos Argos. It's not the company that's listed in Colombia. It's going to be all those assets, cement, concrete, port, and logistics that the organization has within the United States. So this does not have to do with the ordinary shares or preferential shares. I'd also like to say, and let me excuse myself for not being more specific. I like to be specific in my questions, but I need to be pretty careful with this one. But I would like to say that all the energy, all the resources, the project is advancing very well in order for it to be executed in the right moment. Okay, thank you, Jorge. In addition, we have a question from Nubia Rivera about the possibility of other OPAs, close OPAs in any of these shares. Oh, no, Nubia. I could not say. Let's remember that OPAs are public offers done by companies or individuals for a company that appears in the stock exchange after passing certain limits because they have a participation or because they're requiring a particularly high volume. But I have no knowledge of there being any other additional operation in course or close to be executed in one of the companies. In terms of the comments of the energy vertical, we're backing them. Similar structure imports. They also have been advancing vehicles with similar characteristics. Basically for renewable energies. And solar and wind. In the case of Celsia, it's a view of Celsius being remunerated also for these assets. And gives you certain benefits like law 1715. Under that train of thought, we've moved towards the idea that these movements of the verticals didn't come together can be listed in the stock exchange. But what we're doing in energy and concessions is straightforward. I'm bringing all the assets of the same class, which are assets with a certain cash flow, who predictable flows in the same infrastructure as a class, that they'll be united in a vehicle we're stuck in, which is the vehicle, which is the best way, and which one's the most efficient. And that could be looked after by other investors or by the public market. But to answer, what we're doing in energy is the same that we're doing in road concessions. And something similar to what we did in real estate. Political scientists also asked about, besides the reduction of the leveraging of this, have you considered to increase your participation in Maya via the Metan? I don't know if Mauricio is here with us, maybe. Mauricio, I don't know if you want to answer this question. Let's speak about the operation that was being closed and about Maya Viada a little bit. Thank you, Jorge. Hope everyone's doing okay. Effectively, during the first semester, and emphasizing on the second quarter, we completed operations, the disinvestment of the DR assets, refinancing with the possibility of cash out and possibility for those due to the end of its construction phase, and finally the close of Odisha via transaction that has been discussed by Jorge Mario. These three things have allowed us to amortize debt to 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos approximately. We have commitments that should need to be attended in the next 2 months. So the company will reduce significantly its leveraging capacity. This leaves us with the capacity of identifying opportunities, growth opportunities towards the future, more particularly the secondary market, and advance the consolidation of the Meta road grid. This was actually the first private initiative that was started in Colombia some years ago, before Grupo Argos got to Odinsa. This led to a complex process, but will be very well executed, reviewing its reach due to the reduction that the traffic has had, more specifically heavyweight traffic, the fuel movement, and there was an important drop of oil prices. So we start working on this, led by Odinsa, where we were able to rebalance and turn this contract into something feasible. And that coincided with the moment we were doing closure of Odinsa Vias. This gave us the possibility of thinking on retaking the position that others had in the consortium. And that's how Odinsa went from 51% participation, and now we have 92%. A small investor that keeps its position has an 8%. We're jointly in that consortium with a very important majority, thinking on what will be the beginning of the construction phase for this process. So we did this already. We did this within the eyes of Macquarie. As this participation increased, we're ending there. To generalize, this is the fund. It's going to be a 50-50 growing percent, and that's the way it will be in order to execute the project in the construction phase. Thank you, Mauricio. Estefania Mosquera asks, how are we going to be presenting the future, in the future, the information of the energy transition vehicle? He has the question because right now this project have stable flow, but concession ones have negative cash flows. So how is the information going to be presented? Well, thank you, Stefania. Let me give the word to Alejandro Piedrahita. Yes, Stefania, let's remember that what we have within the analysis right now is the migration to a private capital fund. So when we speak about a private capital fund, there's two very important elements. For example, the transaction that we just made in terms of Macquarie for road, what we do is that we have a co-control mechanism. So from the financial information point of view, in terms of Grupo Argos and many of these assets, even for Odinsa, stop consolidating and enter as participation method. The migration we do to a private capital fund vehicle, what we obtain are units. So those units, basically what they do, so they reflect the appraisal done for each of the assets, depending on the moment where they're at. So usually what you have with those types of activities, as we have in Pacte right now, we have stabilized assets. We have, for example, the operation and maintenance of the concession. And we have assets to stabilize, and that are assets that in a certain moment are in the construction process. And obviously, the same accounting in terms of those assets has a different mechanism the accounting, not just of the revenues, but also in terms of the costs and the expenses that sometimes can be placed under amortization. Another important thing is in terms of the feasibility of these assets, what we need to deliver, and this is very important, it's not just analyzing the appraisal of the asset as such, but looking at the objective DIR and the TIRs of these assets, how are they achieved through time in order for us to be the value recognition. Well, thank you, Alejandro. We have a question from Daniel Guardiola about the Odensa Vias business. He's asking if we can explain those 11 billion Colombian pesos that are going to be received by Odensa. These are commissions that should be paid by to Odensa, or is Odensa paying this? This is the first question. What is the amount that Macquarie paid Odensa due to this investment, and what's going to be the use of the resources? And third, if we could share the hurdle rate for the constituted fund for Odensa Vias, and what are going to be the performance fees in order to comply with this. Well, thank you, Daniel. I'll give the word to Pablo Rojave, if he could tell all these details of the fund restructuring. Oh, perfect, Jorge. Thank you. To answer, capital fund, let me start by the second one. By the received cash, was 478 billion Colombian pesos. And the closing methodology that was pacted was with objective values of the working capital funds related to the concessions. This figure was calculated based on the financial results of 31st of May of these concessions, but the close was 22nd of June. So we're still under discussions, or we're calculating the adjustment between 31st of May and 22nd of June. And this will probably increase in favor of Odensa. This is 478,000. I cannot yet share this, but just wanted to say it's larger than 478 billion. Figure will be larger than 478 billion. The hurdle rate, this capital fund, this real rate of 10%, parting from which the projects that are part of this variable remuneration, this an asymmetric distribution. If in the fund we are 50% Odensa and 50% Macquarie, and parting from that hurdle rate that I just mentioned of 10% real, the distribution of future flows of the equity of that project would not be 50-50, but would be 60% for Odensa and 40% for Macquarie. This is the third, three questions. Well, this is the third question, sorry. The fee. This capital fund, once again, APR Odensa 50%, the Macquarie another 50%, should pay Odensa 11 billion Colombian pesos from previous year, 2021. That was when we signed this transaction adjusted by inflation. So the first step would be 11 billion adjusted by the inflation of this year that was high. This is gross, because the fund is the one that pays this figure to Odensa, but if you look, the fund is the half Odensa, half Macquarie. So if we would do this net, the delta for Odensa would be half, 5,500, adjusted by inflation. While LPs are Odensa and Macquarie, right? Yes, that's right. Well, thank you, Pablo. Roberto Paniagua asking about road operations. I'd like to understand the profitability that Odensa has obtained, or Odensa had with this last price marking.
understanding the time, so the fund will have a TIR of 19% if this is net or gross or in other additional metrics. He speaks about ROIC and DPI. In addition, he also asks about or the same metrics for the operation that we're structuring. What's the internal return rate that we're asking, expecting? Let me give the word to Pablo, but before that, airports over roads vertical, obviously there's a series of facts that have been already announced. Airports, as we mentioned, there's a structuring process. So until this is not a reality, I would not like to speculate over those values. But maybe over roads where you have all the information. Pablo? Testing 1, 2, 3, you follow? Yes, sir. I got this frozen screen, sorry. Yeah, that internal return rate of 19%, this is the internal return rate that we need to clarify. And that was obtained as indirect investment in these four assets of road concessions that were contributed to the fund. So this is a net internal return rate, and maybe Alejandro could give more details, but this is an internal return rate that's calculated at an Aeroportuarios Argos level more than a business level, and it's basically calculating according to the moment of the investment done by Grupo Argos and Odensa that began in 2015 but ended in 2017 after the unlisting operation. How much of that is attributable to the assets that were contributed to the private capital fund at that moment? And we take as a launching date the end of this transaction that was 22nd of June, and the value that we recognize for those same assets is what we get from we get a 90% internal return rate. It's a partial answer because this is a profitability over those assets till the date when the private capital fund is conformed. If Alejandro wants to complement something else, I can thank him. Other two components of the question, the MOIR and the DPR. These are indicators of the private capital fund, and this has not yet reached 2 months of operations. So as a consequence, this fund has not yet made any redistribution to its investors, though these are not Macquarie. It's just close to the first appraisal, quarter appraisal for the assets. So when this ends, we will be able to know if there's a non-realized appraisal over these suggested assets. So short answer would be that till the moment, the MOIC is a zero, but that's not the target. We need to wait for the fund to effectively have new asset appraisals. And besides, should also and give shares to the shareholders that this has not yet happened. And in airports, or if we call it a MOIC or internal return rate, what we're looking is for return rates over those similar to the ones we've had. We're changing the way we invest. Before, we invested directly in concession societies that is structured, constructed, financed, and then operated the infrastructure. Now what we're doing is doing this through a private capital fund. But what at the end, what we want to have is a return of those investments or those subjacent assets that, as you know, are investments that are always looking at, we're always looking at double-digit return due to the long-term nature of the assets. And these are assets that are linked to inflation and in a certain way are defensive. This would be the answer. I don't know if Alejandro would like to complement something over the 19%. Well, yes, Pablo. Actually, if we speak about the breakdown of the flows that we presented to the investors, the gross internal return rate is close to a 33%. These values are subject to what Pablo mentioned initially. If you look at the invested capital by Grupo Argos between 2015 and 2021, There were 997 billion Colombian pesos from the 997 billion Colombian pesos between these investments and distributions the company have been carrying out. We had revenues of close to 850 billion Colombian pesos. After that, the vertical, the value was 499 billion Colombian pesos for roads. The remnant for that is 50%, so also 499 billion Colombian pesos, which leads to generated value at the end of 2015, 871 billion Colombian pesos added to administration commissions plus performance that the fund will have. This is an internal return rate of 33%. So when we subtract additional expenses for administration, funding, and admin, we'll have a net internal return rate close to a 19%. That's the figure we had before. Thank you, Alejandro. Finally, we have a question. Juan Camilo doubted about Cartagena Airport. If you can, are still considering this as a key investment opportunity. Mauricio, maybe we can speak about Cartagena's airport. Of course, Jorge, thank you for the question. We could have several approximations to this answer. First is, as Jorge mentioned, speaking about the answer about the taxation before, I want to call the attention on the fact that the conversation we're having with the current government in terms of its plans and vision about infrastructure is just beginning. We've had the opportunity of understanding the first lines of what they're imagining, and they have two defined lines: tourism development, and for tourism development, a repotentialization of airports is key, Cartagena is key, and second is a private initiative as a mechanism to strengthen, in virtue of the implication it has to the great responsibility that private companies assume. So this is just the first conversation, so I say, to understand the plan and the state vision that the government might have over this project. We find that a project such as the New Airport for Cartagena has, from a public agenda point of view, there would be an interest, and from infrastructure projects in terms of private initiative, there's also an interest. Now, from the potential point of view and from the demand point of view, let me take this opportunity to tell you that Cartagena's recovery in terms of traffic compared with 2019 is one of the strongest of all the airports in Colombia, and with the strongest recovery in terms of national and international passengers. In round figures, Cartagena Airport in 2019, that was a very good year that mobilized close to 6 billion Colombian passengers, 6 million Colombian passengers. This figure will be exceeded. So a destination, a place, a location, and public agenda and the interest of the government will make this converge. And in respect with the status of the project, the project ended its evaluation phase. This is a phase they're done by the government, hires independent evaluator, comes checking the project. So this project has an evaluation, has all the designs in terms of engineering. From those evaluations, so there was an adjustment. There were certain adjustments. The runway has to be adjusted. We need to update. We have like from 6 to 12 months to update. Previous consultations were already done. The socialization of the project has already been contemplated. So in the moment that the adjustment is done to all the technical material in terms of design detail for phase two, then we would go into the financial model and contract minute that might take another 6 months. So the specific question is that we do believe it still makes sense. We do believe that this makes sense for Colombia, having a competitive airport in Colombia, and that place where the airport is, we think it's the right place. We believe there's a market, and we feel that this actually fits in into the policies that the current government will drive. Well, thank you, Mauricio. We don't have any additional questions. I want to thank you all for being with us in this conference. Well, thank you all, and once again, we'll be open to any doubts, questions, or queries that you might have. Corporate relations team will be open to answer any of your questions, and all of us today are available to any questions that you might have. Thank you all, and good afternoon.